What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Welcome to Accelerate Your Business Growth,
where we're exploring all sorts of business topics. Experts from around the world join me, your host, Diane Helbig, for a conversation where they share their expertise with all of you. Take what you need when you need it. Featured on Inc.com, Forbes, and MSNBC's Your Business, this podcast is recognized as one of the best podcasts for small business, sales, leadership, social media, and more. When it comes to business, Accelerate Your Business Growth has got it covered. And now on with the show. My guests today are Adam Sonhalter and Jack Mancini of Maximum Value Partners. They are a bit of an enigma in the business coaching circuit. I was just telling them they were a little different before we got on.
We heard that before.
I know, before we hit record. While many large companies and corporations hire business coaches to work with their executives, MVP's duo hires their clients. Adam and Jack will only work with clients who are a fit. Maximum Value Partners works only with small businesses, and it's been that way since the pair teamed up in 2003. Thanks so much for joining me, guys.
Thanks for having
us. Glad to be here, Diane. Glad to be here.
Absolutely. Thrilled to have you here. So we're going to be talking about like husband and wife teams, and you know, because family businesses are a huge part of that small business space, and they, I think they have sometimes unique challenges. And one of those challenges I find is their ability to define the business roles and the job description. So what do you suggest a husband and wife team do to make sure that there's real definition there?
I would advise they don't start out together. Don't work in the same company.
Right?
It seems statistically that more won't, the if they're a traditional couple married and it won't work usually 70% of the time for a bunch of reasons, which we'll get into in a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, see, yeah, that's me now. Adam, yeah, he's got a positive life's experience.
We have different experience of it. So Diane, you know, and so your audience knows, I grew up with that, right? So my parents worked together for 40 years, right? So growing up, I thought that was just normal, right? You know, to have, you know, not only have a successful business, but have a successful marriage. That's just part of how things kind of worked. It wasn't until I got into the business world, I realized how unusual my parents were. And so as I started to kind of, you know, peel back that layer and said, well, how come they were successful? You know, and so one of the things you talk about in terms of what's, you know, defining what their roles were. And so, and the roles at home were different than the roles at work, right? And so when it came to the work roles, you know, my dad was more the product, you know, service expert, more the sales guy, whereas my mom took care of more of the people side of stuff, the financial side of stuff. So kind of like inside versus outside kind of stuff, right? And, you know, it was pretty clear that, you know, he was more in charge and people, you know, who's the boss, they would look, you know, to my dad. Now, when it comes to the home front, very different, right? And the best way to describe this is my dad has an allowance and he's had an allowance for over 50 years. That's how things work. So it's very clear who's in charge. And so they were very good about defining those roles, you know, pretty quickly and having what are often uncomfortable conversations, but it's amazing how many spouses don't do it. And so to Jack's point, we've had a lot of clients that it happens where our client will come and say, hey, I'm thinking about bringing my spouse in the business. And it's always like, whoa, time out. Slow down. Let's talk through all the stuff, right? You know, convince us why this is going to be the case. But we also make sure that they have the opportunity to say, you know what, if this is not working, it's okay to kind of raise your hand and say, hey, this, you know, it's fun to try it out, but you know what, our marriage is more important than this business is, and let's make sure that we stay solid as a marriage, because we have seen, again, great successes, and we've seen times where not only does the business not survive, but neither does the marriage, right? And so, and everything in between. But it can be very, you know, it's avoidable if right. if you start it out the right way.
So, okay, but let's talk about that starting out the right way. So defining roles, it sounds like, you know, defining roles is an important part of that. Being able to have difficult conversations, but what else would you say they need to make sure that they have in place, whether it's bringing a spouse in or the two deciding they're going to, you know, start a business together? What, you know, like, what are those guardrails?
A fair assessment of what their strengths are relative to the business. As you know, so many small business owners don't understand business. So they go into it with more of an emotional push. And boy, who can I trust? Well, I can trust my wife. And so I'll start with her, even though she can't, you know, grasp the business concepts necessary to be successful.
Yeah.
She isn't around right now, so I
you can say that. This is being recorded, Jack. I'm just saying.
That's right. But that you know, it has to be a common ground, or one of the spouses is extremely well versed, you know, in business, where he can direct the endeavor. Where if you're both feeling out, you know, new terrain here, it's not gonna go smoothly, as you well know. All the complexities they make for themselves, pull away from the success of the business. And so that creates issues at work, which will create and carry home to the domestic front there, which that's why in a nutshell it doesn't work, as I think, you know, for the quick and dirty analysis.
Yeah. Adam?
Yeah, so a couple of things. First off, I would say you got to figure out who's in charge. Okay, and that's something that we have those discussions with all of our clients where they have partners. I don't care whether they're spouses or not. And Jack and I are not big fans of these 50-50 partners. You know, at the end of the day, somebody should have 51%. So that, again, we aren't always going to agree, but somebody has to say, okay, I've taken it in, but now we're going this way, versus if we're equal and we just start to spin and things just don't happen, right? So who's going to ultimately be the decider? If we don't agree, somebody has to have the ability to say, okay, that's great. Here's how we're kind of moving forward. So I think who's in charge is a big deal. I think defining what success looks like. So what's success look like, right? So is it, you know, and you come back to, you know, if you know what your roles are, but, you know, here's what we're trying to accomplish with this, right? Yeah. And then if things don't go well, what do we do? So let's talk about it now. Again, it's like, you know, the reason people get advised when you have partnerships is, you know, set up a buy-sell agreement like day one. Well, why? Because you're all getting along and everything's great. If you're all of a sudden pissing at each other, that's the last time to have these kind of discussions. That's okay. So what's going to happen if all of a sudden things aren't going well? And, you know, often is, you know, maybe we can't solve it ourselves. And so it's often where Jack and I will get involved. We'll get involved as that kind of facilitator or mediator, you know? And so there've been cases where we've gotten involved and we've been able to help kind of mediate those things, kind of get them move through. Oftentimes though, it's too far gone, or, you know, one of the things that we discovered is if your marriage is not solid, the last thing you should be doing is going to business together. It's not going to fix it, right? It's going to create more stress and more problems. So if you don't have a solid marriage or a solid relationship, don't even think about it, right? Now, if you have a solid base, okay, that's something to kind of work from. Because if you have a solid base, you've been able to work through issues as well, just in your personal relationship, that will serve you well as far as kind of going, you know, going forward in business as well.
So, boy, I am remembering, like, back in the day, when men would have their wife come into the company, because then it could be like female owned. It was before they really put, you know, limits on things like that. And I worked with, I worked for a man, his wife, and another woman, and the wife knew nothing about the business, like nothing. And then the man died in a tragic car accident. And suddenly, the woman, who knew all about the business, and the wife were now owners together,
right,
of this business. And the wife had no concept, and she didn't know, you know, she thought it was worth more than it was. And they didn't have a buy-sell agreement. They had none of that in place. And it was awful. You know, for years, it was just, you know, not no bueno, as my sister right. would say.
It's very common, unfortunately, Diane. Yeah, it happens a lot. And that's what often we'll push somebody. Hey, that's getting, hey, do you want to be, I know you love your partner, but do you want to be partners with their partner?
Right.
Okay, well, that's kind of, yeah, let's make it happen, right? Yeah.
Yeah, right. And you have to think about those things ahead of time, right?
Right.
Because you never know what could happen. You sort of want to plan for the what if, right?
Right.
So let's talk some about employees, because, you know, children like to play their parents off of each other.
Just like employees. So, yeah, right.
I know, right. So how do these people keep the employees from doing that same sort of thing?
Well, that's pretty difficult. You have to be aware, you know, the couple has to be aware of the power of the owners. You know, they are supreme, and the spouse basically has an advantage, an unfair advantage in terms of understanding how that person can penetrate playing off one another. You know, they see, they talk, they start rumors, they have good facts, they work on basically getting themselves positioned where they know what's going to happen. They know the relationship between the wife and if it's a husband and wife, they know, and they will play that off. They know when to speak. They know when to drop little hints. They can manipulate just like kids do to parents. Just exactly.
Yeah.
You don't think they know what they do. So you got to be aware of that.
So that big word that we often hear, Diane, and you know, is communication, right? And you know, whenever you got multiple people, communication is key. And so, but it starts with, you know, the going back to the roles being defined. So if I'm the person in charge of HR and somebody's coming to you and asking about vacation days, well, they say, look, go talk to Adam. Again, so respecting those roles and those boundaries, you know, hey, what's mine versus what's yours in terms of, you know, what we're responsible for. The communication part, you know, having regular meetings, you know, as soon as that sounds, we often institute that with our clients. Well, we see each other all the time. It's like, it's okay. Let's meet to talk about these things. And so to make sure on a regular basis, maybe it's weekly, maybe it's, you know, a couple times a month, but to say, let's talk about one of the topics we want to talk about is what's going on with our team. What's happening? What are you hearing? Right. Because, you know, part of what you want to do is you want to be developing and, you know, developing your team and see how they are. And so all of a sudden, if somebody's saying one thing to me and saying something else to you, it's like, wait a minute, what's going on with this? Maybe this person's not as good as I thought. They're just telling me what I want to hear. Right. Versus no, they're being honest and they're consistent across what's going on. So to try to use it to your advantage from that standpoint, but you know, the communication has to be good, you know, amongst those spouses, you know, that we're talking about stuff, you know, so again, deferring to each other in terms of what your roles are, but I'll say that's good. Let me come back to you on it. I don't need to make a decision today. I heard you said, let me come back to you tomorrow. It gives me a chance and I'll go talk to my spouse about it before I come back and conclude, make sure we're on the same page. So, you know, and it's not necessarily with every little thing, but again, with the more significant things, you know, for sure.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
So, okay, but so boy, that just brings up another question for me, which is, okay, so the spouses should definitely be talking to each other and having these conversations about what's going on and, you know, their parts of the business, whatever. But my question is, when should they be having those conversations? And I don't mean like once a week or twice a month or whatever. I mean, should they be having them during the workday, or should they hold them for dinner time, or, you know?
Good question. The short response is whatever works best for them.
Okay.
And so one of the things is, again, going back to my parents again, in terms of as I look back on where they're successful. I even talked to them about it. And my dad said, look, he said, your mom is very good at saying, hey, we're home. We aren't talking about work stuff anymore. We're done. Right. And now that doesn't mean my dad's brain turned off, right? He's still thinking about the stuff. He would redirect it. He'd take some notes and he'd bring it back up. So for them, you know, she wanted to keep, hey, let's keep, you know, once it's 5:30, 6 o'clock, yeah, let's shut that part off, except for any kind of, you know, significant thing coming up. But normal day, let's keep it during the day. So often what they would do is, they're early risers, so what they would do is let's have breakfast. So while the breakfast in the morning, either on the way to work or the first in the office anyway, we'll just bring breakfast in and we'll kind of do it that way. So finding what works for you. So depending on what's going on, if you have young kids, well, maybe, hey, let's go take the kids to the game or the practice, and then we'll go have coffee and kind of talk, or go have a drink, talk about whatever it might be. Maybe it helps that to have a drink, to have some of these kind of conversations. So what works for you? But again, it's scheduling. I mean, you know, again, could be within work hours outside, but again, what's going to work for you? But finding that time and committing to it, because otherwise the days and weeks and months just go by so fast.
Well, they either go by. So I'm really grateful for that, that thought process, because for me, it's either the time goes by and they don't deal with these things, or the business so bleeds into their lives that it's impossible to figure out where the marriage is and where, you know, the business relationship is. And I think that could be one of the reasons why so many of them, you know, it doesn't pan out.
Absolutely. You can get lost. All you start talking about is, you know, the business. It's like, wait a minute, how did we fall in love before, you know,
right?
Who are you, right? Yeah. Versus you're another employee or you're a business partner, or
right.
It can get kind of confusing. You're right.
Yeah. So along those lines, How do they go on vacation together at the same time?
Oh, boy. It's hard to go on vacation anyway when you own a
company. I know, right.
That's a tough one.
Right? I mean.
It's very difficult for people to turn. It took me years to understand and learn how to take a family vacation. Because, you know, you just start out and business is constantly whirling around in your brain. And, you know, you have to make these hard and fast rules of don't call me unless, you know, this is going on. And you try to make yourself unavailable. Then you worry that things are going on and you don't know and you don't want to create a problem there. But what happens is your spouse will see you not concentrating and little snits will happen, as we like to say. So the vacation gets put off kilter. And are you having fun yet kind of thing? You want somebody to keep asking you that?
Right.
Well, it's difficult taking a vacation like that.
Yeah.
But we do it.
Well, it comes back to come back to the communication again, right? So again, I recall as clear as it was yesterday, but it was 40 years ago being on vacation out in Southern California. This is before all the technology existed. The technology back then was a phone, right? So I remember, you know, first thing in the morning, my dad would be on the phone, just calling, hey, what's going on? I have to be aware of. And he'd do the same thing kind of, you know, for 5-10 minutes later in the day, just kind of touch base. And he kind of knew, hey, it's time for him to kind of make his phone call. You know, what I discovered, you know, taking vacations is, you know, I'm usually the first one awake. And so I don't mind spending that first hour or two when everybody else is still asleep. Like, let me get some stuff done. Cause the last thing I want to come back to is a email box full of, you know, 1,000 emails. You know, to me, it's better, you know, and if you don't let me do that, then I'm going to be more stressed out. I'm not really going to enjoy myself. So again, it's okay. You know, so having those things, what do you need? Cause again, at the same time with family vacations, we aren't together 24/7 as family vacations either. We're all kind of doing some different stuff. So again, let's communicate and just kind of schedule it in to make sure what's going to work for us. Because again, if the spouse is like, hey, I'm done and I'm turning off, okay, that's fine. Let the spouse do that. But if I'm not, that's okay too. You know, if one of us wants to kind of be a little more connected, especially in today's day and age, it's so tempting. It's all right there. But it's a great way to test your team when you go away and see, well, how are they doing, right? How often do they call versus me kind of just checking in? Because with today, you can check in without calling. You can just check what's going on. You have your technology, check this report. You know, you can watch what's going on without really interrupting them, right? So,
You
know, so it's come back to, let's define it. Again, those are things that we haven't talked about. Let's talk about what's going to happen and what's, you know, what really upsets you versus what, you know, what doesn't. So, you know, just having that kind of, I want to call it a negotiation, but you know, often that's what it becomes, to kind of talk through those things.
Well, it feels like it goes back to that defining what success looks like, right? So if you define what a successful vacation looks like, then everyone knows what to expect before you go. And then it's different mindsets. It does. It comes back to that communication thing.
So important.
It really is. So, I mean, communication ends up being really, you know, for me, the beginning and end of everything that works or doesn't work, you know. But this is sort of along the same lines, slightly different, I guess. I'm curious about when these couples who are co-owners decide that they want to start transitioning their company to their kids or the next generation, whatever that looks like. Maybe it's their nieces and nephews, who knows? What should they be looking at? What should they be thinking about? How, you know, what is that? When should they start? You know, what does that process really look like?
Well, it's usually, I would say, a 5 to 10 year process, you know, in terms of what, okay. You know, in terms of just having, if you start the discussion, hey, I'm thinking about transitioning, right? Okay, well, if you're thinking about transitioning next month, we got some problems probably, especially if the kids or nieces or whoever is not in the business yet, right? But let's assume that they're in the business. The question is, you want to kind of start talking about it. And you know, that's what happened with my parents and my brother and I, right? My dad was about 5 years away, saying, I'm thinking about what's going on. And my preference would be to have either you or your brother take it over. If that doesn't work, I'm going to go to plan B and plan C. But he kind of wanted to start there. And I wanted that. It was a good fit for my brother to kind of, you know, to kind of be the one. There's a word that comes out a lot. I know it's one of Jack's favorite words that comes out of this is we want to be fair. Right, you know, be fair. And what the heck
that
does that
mean?
That
is not one of Jack's favorite words.
I know it's not.
What does that mean?
You know, fair is like beauty. It's in the eye of the beholder, Diane, right? So, you know, so what's fair? And so, you know, the kids are not equal. The kids don't have equal skills. So again, coming back to having those discussions about, well, who's the right one? And just because you're the firstborn versus lastborn doesn't, you know, have you be one versus the other. And so again, it's coming through just talking about, you know, as Jack was saying before, when you're as couples to kind of assess, okay, what your natural strengths and weaknesses are, you know, vice versa, but also knowing, well, how are they together? Because, you know, one of those challenges is, again, well, if we're siblings coming into the company, well, we say, look, leave that sibling hat at the door. You're coming in with, hey, you're this VP, you're in charge of this, you know, whatever it might be. You aren't brother, sister. You know, you guys are coworkers now. So, you know, and so if you get a chance to see that part is, okay, how do they interact together? You know, so the part is you want to get them into the business first and kind of, let's see how they do, you know, versus assuming they can come out of nowhere and just kind of drop in and everything's going to be fine from that standpoint. Right. And a big challenge often too, there's this often unspoken pressure where the kids have to say yes. All right. So part is, hey, let's give the kids permission to say, hey, no, this is not for me. Like, you know, I don't want to necessarily do that because it's been mom or dad's dream ever since day one to kind of turn it over. And we've had clients like that. Well, they named the company, you know, after the kids. Like, they just say, this is like your birthright. It's like, well, but they don't quite get along. It's not the right fit. Like, okay, I know that was your dream, but we got to involve them in the conversation as well, in terms of, here's what we're kind of thinking about. We aren't promising them, but say, here's kind of what we're thinking today. What are your thoughts on that? And if they say, hey, I'm not interested. Okay, let's go a different route. Or, hey, I'm interested. But so having some of those early discussions help to kind of form and shape what it can look like, because, you know, it's not to say better or worse to have only one. If you have five kids, well, can all five work together? Sure. Again, if we have these discussions, but could it just be the one? That's okay too. You know, it's starting to kind of figure that out. But, you know, we've seen all those situations where we've had it and the kids were together, and, you know, about 6 to 8 years in, they couldn't stand each other. I said, hey, we're great siblings, but we're terrible together in business. So we have to break apart because we want to make sure we keep our, you know, our things there. So we've helped them kind of break apart that way and each go their own way and be successful on their own. You know, so it's, again, it comes back to a lot of having these kind of conversations, but also giving them permission to say no. As often what is the people say, well, I wish I was, you know, that kid, you know, that silver spoon. It's like, well, again, you know, depending on your perspective, it's not necessarily that easy either. It's like all these expectations are put on you. Like, all of a sudden you're the boss. And hey, people working for 30 years, they remember when I was like 5 years old, like they see me as this little kid still, like, how am I going to lead this organization? Right. So having those kind of chats, I think, are very, very important.
If the owner, and this assumes not a 50-50 split, if the owner thinks ahead and gets comfortable with the word retirement, where he or she can leave the company because they're ready to step aside. It's when they don't really wrestle with that. And it's difficult. We've had a number of people that we've coached on retiring and start to prepare and start to think of yourself after the initial, this is my last day and I've thought about this and for the next 6 months, I'm going to do this. And that's good, you know, golfing and vacationing and all these things are great, but they aren't going to sustain you for the next 25 years or 20 years, whatever it's going to be. And if that isn't settled well in the owner's mind, there's going to be trouble. You know, no matter how good you try to prepare things, if that person isn't prepared, it's going to be a problem. And it's difficult. He's got to contemplate a life without work. And boy...
That's not
fun, you know.
No, I think that's a really big point. And I know I've seen that in companies where they've said, okay, so you know, their kids have been working in the business their whole lives, you know, the since they were 18 years old, and the kids are expecting to take on the company, and the parents will not let it go. And at some point, and so the kids aren't learning things like the finances, right? So the kids aren't learning things that are directly related to the success or failure of the organization, and the parents are, you know, you can't get them to that place. And so they have this idea in their head that when it's time, right, that the kids will just, well, you know, not necessarily.
And that's often one of the key points where Jack and I will get involved. They start having some of these kind of discussions and they kind of get stuck. And so it's hard. They need somebody to kind of facilitate that and make sure that these questions are being asked, but also to kind of, you know, we'll meet with the families together. We also meet with them individually because people often will speak differently one-on-one versus, you know, in the groups. And you kind of get a sense of that in terms of what's kind of going on. You know, but it's, you know, to your point, you know, the parents often keep things kind of close to the vest. And, you know, we had a client years ago, I think you know Lisa, I'm guessing, you know, pretty well. Lisa Holly, right? From Bria Moving. Does that name ring a bell at all or no?
I don't know.
But, well, you know, it's a family-run company and her mom died tragically in a car accident. But her and her brother, they grew up with it, you know, started the kitchen table kind of thing, right? And they both worked in the business for like 30 years. And they had a sense that things weren't going that well, but until mom passed away, they didn't really know. And all of a sudden it's like, well, here's all the stuff. And they're like, well, what do we do with this stuff? Like, we thought we had plenty of time to kind of learn this stuff. And so, you know, so she spent that first year after that trying to find some help. That's how she found us. And so we helped her through that process in terms of here's what it means. Here's what it means to kind of run the business and get involved more than just the sales or the operations. Here's how you kind of do this stuff. And so, that knowledge transfer, you're right, doesn't often happen because we have time, right? We have time, but the time disappears quickly sometimes, right?
Yeah. It really does, right? Right.
Right.
You should always plan for the, what I always call the, God forbid a million times you get hit by a bus and you're in a coma scenario, right? Like you don't die, but you also are not available
right
to answer questions, do the things you were doing before, you know, how does it, and you need it to keep going on because you're going to come out of your coma, you know, it's all right.
Right.
So, God willing, right. You come out of it. So guys, I so appreciate you explaining this and spending this time. I think this was really incredibly valuable, you know, especially hearing like sort of the good, the bad, and the ugly, you know, sides of it, not just the, oh, sure, anybody can do this kind of thing. So thank you so much for joining me. Will you tell the listeners, you know, how they can find you, how they can, you know, tell us a little bit about your podcast so they can be looking at that as well?
Sure. Yeah. For Maxim Valley Partners, we have our website, MaximumVP.com. And then our podcast is called Dirty Secrets of Small Business. So you can either get through our website, which is DirtySecretsOfSmallBusiness.com, or use your favorite podcast player and search for Dirty Secrets of Small Business. And you can subscribe to it. Usually have a new episode every Thursday that we drop it. We over 300 episodes, over 6 years of doing this every week. And it's geared towards just helping small businesses. And with the day-to-day stuff, as we say, 30 secrets, things that maybe aren't talked about, much like we discussed today, these are things that often aren't talked about in the public or limelight from that right. standpoint.
Right. Excellent. That's so great. Well, thank you very much. And listeners, thank you. You are who we're doing this for. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Accelerate Your Business Growth, a production of Evergreen Podcasts. Discover more episodes of this podcast and explore others at evergreenpodcast.com. As always, continue to prosper and be curious. And if you're looking to get your sales strategy headed in the right direction, pick up a copy of Succeed Without Selling on Amazon or wherever books are sold. Until we meet again on another episode of Accelerate Your Business Growth, goodbye and good day.
Do you love news about LinkedIn, Indeed, Google, and just about every other recruitment tech company out there?
Hell yeah. I'm Chad.
I'm Cheese.
We're the Chad and Cheese Podcast.
All the latest recruiting news and insights are on our show.
Dripping in snark and attitude.
Subscribe today wherever you listen to your podcasts.
We out.